This past week, thousands of people convened in Washington, D.C. to study the global AIDS crisis at the 19th International AIDS Conference. But in the Kansas City region, more than 6,000 people are living with HIV and AIDS. That includes Bester Samani, who says an AIDS diagnosis 12 years ago completely changed her life. Samani, joined by her daughter Sue, recently told KCUR's Alana Gordon that one of the biggest struggles has been dealing with the stigma of the disease here in the U.S. and in Africa.
In the southern African country of Zambia, near the capital, Lusaka, there's a phrase people may whisper to each other when someone has or is rumored to have AIDS. Kayonde yonde, or slimming, slimming. Bester Samani says it's the physical weight loss people there associate with the disease. Samani was unaware of her own physical decline 12 years ago. She was too busy wrapping up a year and a half of work and study in hotel management in Kansas City and preparing to finally return to her six-year-old daughter, Sue.
I was supposed to return on May 28. All my bags are packed and everything.
Samani recalls this while sitting inside her cozy apartment in Kansas City, an enlarged framed photo of her with her siblings and daughter, taken right before she left Zambia for a temporary visit, hangs on a nearby wall. Samani says just weeks prior to her scheduled flight back home, a good friend who hadn't seen her in a while stopped by to say goodbye. The friend immediately noticed something was wrong.
Then she's like, no, you don't look okay, Bester. You've lost so much weight. So we continued visiting, talking. And then before she left...
The friend took Samani to a local hospital. She stayed there for nearly a month, never making it to the airport, and instead battling high fevers and undergoing different operations and procedures. Samani says she had no idea why she was so ill until the day before she was to leave. A social worker came to talk about where she could access AIDS services.
So I'm like, what? You say I have AIDS? She says, yeah, they didn't tell you. I'm like, no. So I demanded that I wanted to talk to the doctor, you know, to find out exactly what was going on. Then the doctor came. He was standing like a really far by the door side there. Then he's like, yeah, you have AIDS.
For Samani, the main caretaker of her younger siblings and daughter, the diagnosis was a huge blow.
It was very, very hard. I think the hardest part was really being a breadwinner for the family. And then to tell them, say, oh no, I have AIDS. I felt like they are pretty much going to have a funeral.
The doctor then told her she'd be able to get medication here that wasn't available in Zambia, medication that would help her get better, to the point that she'd be able to care for her six-year-old daughter, Sue. So Samani stayed in Kansas City. Her first challenge of living with the disease came up before she even left the hospital. Staff warned her not to let others know about her diagnosis.
To be told, like, I can't tell anyone, it's more like I've taken a gun and shot someone in the face. You see what I'm saying? Like, I'm the one that has actually caused this problem. Whereas it's supposed to be the other way, like people feel sorry or sympathy for you because you are the one who is sick. But now you are being taken like you've caused this big problem that you can't even talk about.
Samani's daughter, Sue, who's 18 now, sits next to her as she recalls all of this. Sue says dealing with her mom's absence back home was painful.
I just remember waiting there and just being told that, oh, she's not coming, and never being given an explanation why.
Sue's father dropped out of her life when she was two, and she heard relatives and friends speculate that her mom had gotten married, found a new family.
It was pretty hard and really harsh to have to deal with all of that.
Samani isn't sure how she got HIV. She says it could have been through sex, through a blood transfusion after giving birth to Sue. She also wonders if she got it from a traditional healer who cut her skin with razors that could have been contaminated. But Samani was sure about one thing. The stigma around AIDS in Zambia was huge. Samani says telling her family about her diagnosis would be more damaging to them than to her.
So it's like my daughter would receive the same discrimination and bad treatment as though she had AIDS herself. And my sister, same way, they would be mistreated the same way, like they had the disease, even though they don't have it. Just because I have it, it affects the entire family.
In Kansas City, Samani's health started to improve. She applied for asylum based on the hardships she'd face being HIV positive in Zambia. And she got the needed paperwork and funds together to bring her daughter Sue to Kansas City.
I mean, even though she had been gone for it was 3 years or so.
Two years, 8 months.
3 years to me. So even though she had been gone for about 3 years, it was just, she was still my mom.
The two were granted asylum on Valentine's Day in 2004. Now, if Somani's HIV status had been documented when she applied to come to the U.S. originally on her work-study visa, she likely would have been denied entry. Up until 2 years ago, the U.S. banned anyone with HIV from traveling to the country. The change in that policy is what led to the International AIDS Conference taking place in Washington, D.C. last week. Even though Somani and her daughter were in the U.S. together, both say life in Kansas City dealing with HIV was incredibly isolating. Somani kept the illness mostly to herself. She didn't even tell Sue about her HIV status until it was about to come up during one of their asylum application hearings.
Actually, I didn't even say I've got AIDS. I just thought they said, you know, I'm sick. I've been actually sick for a long time, and that's why I wasn't able to come home. And then she says, you have AIDS. Then I said, yeah.
Well, I mean, I used to do all her drug cocktails, so it was basically every Sunday I'm the one who's sitting there going through, like, any given time, 5 or 7 or, like, 12 different pill bottles, putting, like, what do you take at dinner time or what do you take during these times, because it was just a way to help out.
Somani says she's been lucky that accessing HIV medication hasn't ever been a challenge. But side effects from the pills and the health issues associated with the disease have at times been debilitating. In 2005, the bone in her right hip started deteriorating, making it hard to walk sometimes and threatening to confine her to a nursing home. But even when she was at the peak of her health, working several jobs, going to community college, raising her daughter, Somani lived in fear that others might find out about her HIV status.
I didn't even have friends. You know, I didn't have any friends come over or anything like that. We really just didn't have a life.
And it was also really stressful because I can't really talk to anyone about it. And I go to school and I was bullied quite a bit just for being different and for not being from here. And so it was just, I was miserable.
The two found some support. Somani got help from a volunteer with a local AIDS agency, and she connected with an all-women's HIV support and education group, one that she later assisted with. Sue found refuge in a week-long camp for kids affected by HIV. But both say these outlets weren't enough. Somani says it wasn't until she confided with someone from Sue's school about her situation, and then others, that she finally found relief.
Life just changed for the better. I mean, it became easier.
Somani says not worrying about keeping the illness to herself gave her more strength and energy. Sue began talking about it with friends and responding to peers who made jokes about HIV. Then in high school, she joined a group of young adults affected by HIV who traveled to schools around the country to share their experiences.
The only way for me to feel like I could really conquer it, it was by just kind of getting over it and not making it less important, but just kind of getting into a place where it was something, like keeping the secret wouldn't be something that was controlling my life anymore.
That just completed the whole picture, you know. That's when we started having friends over, and now we can talk about it anywhere.
Somani and Sue say it wasn't like everything was immediately okay after they stopped keeping HIV a secret. The stress from the disease and from having enough resources to survive has had a huge physical and psychological toll. At one point, Sue went into foster care, staying with a family friend while her mom recovered. But this May, Sue completed her first year at Columbia University on a full scholarship. The two were also recently granted U.S. citizenship, and with that, they finally had the chance to take a trip home to Zambia. Somani gets the impression the climate and stigma around HIV in Zambia has changed a lot since she was first diagnosed with the disease a decade ago.
Because so many people are sick. So almost every household, maybe they have someone who has AIDS. So it really doesn't make sense, like, one family to be pointing fingers at the other family when they are dealing with it in their own family. You know, it's so commonplace now that people are more accepting.
Somani says life in Kansas City continues to have ups and downs. She's unemployed right now, but wants to put her talents and skills in hotel management to work. Her right hip still bothers her, making it difficult to walk at times, and she's struggling to find treatment. Even so, Somani says she has faith. Things will work out the way they're supposed to.
And so I never lose hope. I know that I'm sick right now, It's just one of those challenges that I have to go through. I know that it's gonna pass, and I know that I've got many more years of bright future ahead of me.
Samani is spending her days applying for jobs and enjoying the time she has with Sue while she's home from college on summer break. Reporting for KC Currents, I'm Alana Gordon.